96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler, a 920 commercial. Pete Euler providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete to 342-6272.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Pete Euler is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Emporia. Call 620-342-6272 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings is based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
KVOE News Time, 828, Newsmaker 2 time here today. 17th District Senator Jeff Longbine is our Newsmaker 2 guest here today.
Senator Longbine, good morning. How are you?
How are you?
We're doing all right so far. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's a nice sunny day and no chance of storm, so...
I'm liking that, yeah.
I'm liking that, yeah, exactly.
Good deal. Well, you had a chance to meet with the public along with your cohort from Emporia, Mark Schreiber, with the legislative dialogue last night. I know we talked with you quite a bit about kind of the input that you wind up getting from your constituents and how that helps to shape policy from your perspective. But what are some of the other topics you discussed last night?
There was a lot of conversation about kind of the end of session. We spent a lot of time on the sixth rendition of tax breaks that the legislature passed and speculation on whether the governor will sign that or whether she will pull us back into special session. So we had a good crowd and a good opportunity to converse back and forth, so it was a great evening.
Well, let's talk about the latest package, the tax package. Do you have, any insight to what do you think? You're going to be coming back?
I hope not. It's kind of, when you look at it from a bigger picture, it's kind of silly. We're about $40 million apart from the governor. And when you put that into a percentage of a $20 billion budget, there's a decimal and a zero before you get to the percentage of difference that we're apart. And so, I think it's a really good package for the constituents in Kansas. It increases the standard deduction. It increases the personal exemption. It gives some property tax relief. It eliminates all income tax on Social Security. It moves the sales tax forward, the food sales tax forward to July 1. So it's about $400 million in tax relief, 430 or something like that. The governor wanted to be 400 or less, so we're very, very close. My hope is that she will sign it and put it into law, and we can start giving those tax breaks July 1.
If the governor pulls you into special session, which I've heard is a better than average chance, where would you see that you could maybe make some adjustments that would basically make the governor happy?
Well, I don't know that we know that, and that's been the difficulty. When you look at where we're at compared to what she's communicated, you could infer that she doesn't want to give any income tax rate reduction. We're given minuscule rate reductions, and so if we go back into special session, the thing that a lot of people don't understand is all of our previous work is erased because we've already adjourned sine die. So we have to start over with a brand new bill. We have to have committee hearings on both sides. It has to pass out of committee. It has to pass both floors, go through the conference committee procedure before it could go back to the governor. So my fear is that it would get worse and we would get farther apart with the governor and continue the dialogue. And that's not what we need. We need to finish our work and go on down the road.
Well, and that will, cost the state a little bit of money, too, to have you back for who knows how long, I guess, before.
Yeah, it's about $85,000 a day is the number I was told. So,
You mentioned here about Medicaid expansion, and really both you and Mark have been expansion proponents for a significant period of time. How disappointing was it that Medicaid expansion got to the floor or was poised to maybe get to the floor but didn't, and expansion didn't move forward here this session?
Well, there was a procedural vote in the Senate to pull the bill out of committee. It required 24 votes, and I knew all along that there likely was not 24 votes. We ended up with 18, which is kind of where I expected it would be. And so, you know, it takes three more votes to pull it out of committee than it does to pass it. I was pretty sure that we didn't have the votes to pass it, and knew that we'd be quite a ways away from pulling it out of committee on a procedural move. So disappointing, but not unexpected.
So is this locked into where it probably is going to be, at least as of now, Medicaid forever? Because if you poll, you know, the state of Kansas and businesses and constituents, most are in favor of Medicaid expansion. But will this change without change in the leadership in the Senate, Jeff?
Well, I don't know. You know, elections change the dynamics. They change the makeup. And so, you know, this is an election year. And we know that at least 25% of the Senate's going to turn over because of announced retirements. And so does that new crop come in and have a little different view? And so, you know, it's as the legislature turns over, then, you know, you may get people who are more receptive to it.
Would this pay? Here's a question, and it's a hypothetical, but would Medicaid expansion maybe have a better chance of passing if there was a Republican in the governor's chair versus a Democrat?
I don't know that that would be true. I mean, it's never reached the governor, so it's a legislative type thing. And until there's 21 in favor of it in the Senate and 63 in the House, it's not going to pass. And so the first work needs to be done in the legislature.
Well, we've been touching on some things that have not been done this last legislative session. Senator Longpine, what about things that did get done? Your overall view on how things went the past few months here?
Well, I think for an election year, they went reasonably well. There weren't a lot of bickering back and forth. There weren't a lot of gotcha votes. There were a lot of bipartisan votes. In fact, you know, our Senate president versus our minority leader, they voted the same 92% of the time. And so, you know, I think there's some really good things that came out of it. ESU did very, very well in our budget. They received their base budget, and then there was a regional university enhancement of $3 million, and we were able to, even though the governor vetoed it the first time, we were able to put back the $9 million in reinvestment for ESU back into the omnibus budget, and she's assured us that she'll let that go through. And then there was some debt elimination on the union, so ESU did very well. K-12 did very well in fully funding with Gannon, and then an additional $70 million over and above the normal special ed funds. So I think the session went pretty well.
And mental health, got a look at mental health too, correct?
Mental health, I think, did pretty well in a number of areas. So, yeah, I think we were able to enhance some services, fully fund education and transportation, and those are the things that most Kansans care about the most.
Well, the big news, Senator, coming here just recently, your announcement that you will not be running for re-election for the district here, for the Senate seat. Why are things coming to an end, Jeff?
Well, I don't know, Ron. You know, it just seemed right. When I went in 2010, my original intentions were to fulfill the remaining part of Dr. Barnett's term, which was 2 years, and then considered running for one more term, and so that would have been 6 years, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and it's 14 years. And So as Gwen and I were talking about this, and I thought, you know, 14 years seems like a really long time, and if you add another 4 years onto that, it becomes 18, that seems like forever. So I want to, you know, take some time to spend more time with my wife and family and new grandbaby. I want to, you know, get more involved in my business on a day-to-day operation, especially, you know, January through May. I'm trying to find my golf clubs. I think they're in the garage somewhere. You know, might spend a little more time on my bicycle. So just seems like a good time to let things slow down a little bit.
Jeff, you bring up an interesting point, and it's one we didn't bring up with 76th District Representative Eric Smith when he came on with us yesterday. Just how much time do you basically have to take as a lawmaker away from your original job, whether it's, say, during the regular session, maybe if we go to a special session, or even, say, out of session? How much time are you dedicating to being a lawmaker?
Well, it's hard to answer. During session, which runs from the second week of January until basically the first week of May, I'm generally on the road by 7 a.m., and I'm generally back in Emporia anytime between 6 and 10 p.m., and that's Monday through Thursday, and then Fridays are generally a half day, and that's pretty well the schedule. You know, we're certainly not in session that long, but you have constituent groups that have events in Topeka every night, and, you know, you've got constituents that are traveling up to see you, and so you feel an obligation to go to their reception or their dinner. You know, it's long, hard days during session, particularly if you're driving, as Mark and I have always done. And so, and then off session, you know, there's 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 meetings a week that may be only an hour or so, but it still takes time. And then there's all of the communications with phone calls and emails that you have with constituents. So it is time consuming, but it's extremely rewarding, and it's a great opportunity to get to interact with people that in normal day life you wouldn't have that opportunity. And that's what I've appreciated the most.
Well, not only that, Jeff, but I would assume, too, there is a lot for you to do on keeping up with all of the activities, all the bills, all the information that has to come across your desk. And if you're going to, you know, succeed and be on top of everything, there's a lot of homework to do, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot of reading to do, a lot of discussions with colleagues, committee chairs, government relations people. So yeah, it's action packed when we're in session. Oftentimes have a lot of visitors to the office every day, and you know we hate to be short and abrupt, but we schedule appointments every 10 minutes. And our day is, if we're not in committee or not on the floor, we're in the office, and we don't have any extra room, even with seeing people at 10 minutes at a time.
Well, Jeff, we mentioned here, kind of in conjunction with your announcement that you are retiring here, that former Southern Line County Superintendent Mike Argerbright has now filed for the seat. I'm going to ask here, because on our airwaves yesterday, Eric had endorsed who would have been his primary challenger, Brad Barrett. Does Mike Argerbright have your endorsement for the 17th District Senate seat?
He absolutely does. Mike and I have been in discussions for a couple of months, and you know, I kind of recruited Mike. I wanted somebody who valued education. I wanted someone who was supportive of Medicaid expansion. I wanted somebody who was appreciative and would work hard for higher ed. And then in the northern part of my district, you know, with the military, veterans affairs and that type of thing are very important. And with Mike's experience and Mike's background and his, you know, his name recognition, he just seemed like a perfect fit. And so, I'm glad that, Mike has decided to step forward, and I do fully endorse him. I think he'll do a great job if he's elected.
Well, we've spent a lot of time with Mike as, of course, the superintendent, USD 252 South Lyon County. So, yeah, it seemed like could be a very good fit. But we'll find out how the chips roll out there as we close in on the primary and then the general election coming up in November. Well, Jeff, you know, we were talking about, you know, you're going to have more time to spend with family. Congratulations, by the way, on the new grandbaby.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
You.
Awesome news right there. And you have, what, another wedding here this summer, don't you? Is that coming up?
I have a wedding in late summer, so, yeah, it's a busy time.
I guess, and, you know, so you're going to have more time to spend with your family, but you still got a full-time job out there at the plaza.
I do have a full-time job, and, you know, I'm not sure who was disappointed more when I made my announcement, whether it was the constituents or my employees that realized I'm going to be back every day.
So you mentioned golf. How often do you think you're going to be out on the course, and how long do you think it's going to take to get your golf game straight, for lack of a better term?
Well, there's a lot of rust on that thing, and so I don't know. I'm going to go out and try it and see if I can still do it, and I may be so bad that I just give it up again, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, Jeff, thank you as always for your time. You know, throughout your 14 years, you have been totally accessible, you know, to us, and answered all the questions. Your transparency has been outstanding. We appreciate the job that you have done. We know you've worked very hard and took this very seriously and really served the constituents here in your district, in the 17th district, very well. And we appreciate all your service, public service, and good luck in the future.
Well, thank you very much, and you know, I really appreciate everything that KVOE does, not only what you've done for me and allowing me to be on the air, but you know, for what you do for this community. It's outstanding, and I've never seen another radio station that's even close to the job that you do in getting information out to the community, and so I really, really appreciate you guys.
We'll be in touch, Jeff. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thank you much.
All right. That is the 17th District State Senator Jeff Longbine joining us on our Newsmaker Tuesday. I'm going to hear this morning, Chuck.
All right, and don't forget that we'll have another legislative, really perspective interview.